if you would please, and let's open together to Revelation 19. And as you open there, just let me say to you that I count it both a joy and a privilege that I get to open the Word of God with you on Sunday mornings, that I get to proclaim the Word to you. I count it a great joy and privilege that we have some other men who are coming along and doing that, and I hope that's a joy to you as well. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being a wonderful church, wonderful friends, and I really am looking forward to what we're going to study this morning, because what's going to happen is that all of us who believe in Jesus Christ are going to be united with Him in person, in heaven, forever, to rejoice with Him. And it is going to be the greatest wedding celebration that any of us have ever been to, even better than your own wedding. As good as your own, I had a great wedding, and I have an amazing wife, and I praise God for her every day. And many of you have been to great weddings. This is going to be the greatest of them all. There will be no oopses in this wedding. There will be no blunders. We talked about that last night. This is going to be a great wedding. We're in Revelation 19, 7 to 10 this morning. The title of the message is The Marriage Supper of the Lamb. It could be as well titled The Marriage of the Lamb. Both are mentioned here. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, what I'm about to tell you is something to look forward to. You should be able to say, I am looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, let me say that today you should become one. Because you're going to want to be here, and you're not going to want to not be here. I think that will become clear as we go through. Revelation 19, verses 7 through 10. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then He said to me, write, as in write this down, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him, but He said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let's start with the last word, prophecy. Prophecy, the future. It's been said, only fools ignore it. The wise make ready for it. Revelation is a book largely of prophecy. It's about the things which must shortly take place. We are told that in the first verse of the book. That's the theme. The things which must shortly take place. And from the verses that we just read, one of the things which must shortly take place is the marriage of the Lamb, or the marriage supper of the Lamb. And who is the Lamb? Jesus. Jesus Christ, who is called the Lamb not because He's weak and wimpy, but because in love for His bride, He gave His life. He gave His life for the church. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He gave His life for you. If anyone ever asks you, hey, was Jesus married? You should say, He's about to be. And that's good news for His bride. You could go right into the gospel from there. Believers in Jesus Christ are soon going to be where He is. And we are going to live with Him forever. Hallelujah. That is the main truth that we have here. But there's a lot more to it than that. So in order to see more of what's here and get the picture, I've given you four headings in your bulletin. Number one, the picture. In other words, what is the picture that God is painting for us here of this marriage, this wedding, and why? Number two, the people. Who's going to be there and who's not going to be there at this wedding? Number three, the promise. What will it be like and how can we be sure of that? And number four, the practical application. How should we respond? First, the picture. What is the picture that God is painting for us here of this marriage, and why is that? And I'm going to give you four answers to that question. First, it is a picture of joy and gladness. Verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory. This, as you recall, is the voice of the great multitude in heaven. This is the myriad of angels and saints calling to one another saying, hey, come on, let's have fun, let's rejoice, let's be glad, let's give God praise and glory. And why? Because God in his glory, in his grace, in his love, in his compassion, his power, his wisdom, has planned this day from eternity past, the wedding of his son with the bride of his son. And so here, heaven is calling out saying, come on, let's rejoice. And the picture God is painting is that that day, the marriage of the Lamb and the marriage supper of the Lamb will be a day of joy and gladness. No surprise there, right? How many of you have ever been to a wedding? Yeah, almost everybody's been to a wedding, maybe your own. And even if it maybe wasn't, because maybe not every wedding on the earth is a day of joy and gladness, it's meant to be that. You know, sometimes things go wrong. Sometimes there's tension. Sometimes the dress doesn't show up, or the bride doesn't show up, or grandma's left behind. I mean, anything could happen, right? There's a whole story there. But listen, on earth, not every wedding is perfect, but in heaven, it's going to be perfect. There is going to be perfect joy, perfect gladness, perfect worship in that day. That's the picture here. A picture of joy and gladness because it's a picture of life with Jesus, eternal life with Jesus. Look again at verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory for, here's why, the marriage or the wedding of the Lamb has come. Finally, at long last, the wedding of the Lamb has come. Now, you see the word marriage? For the marriage, the wedding of the Lamb. What is marriage? Don't answer yet. There are a lot of definitions these days. Marriage has fallen on hard times. And you know what? The world wants to define marriage for us. But the truth is, the one who designed it is the one who gets to define it. God designed marriage. So let's go back to his design and we'll get a definition. Turn, if you would, keep a finger here in Revelation 19 or a bookmark, and go all the way back to Genesis 2. And we're going to put together a brief definition of marriage. As you turn to Genesis 2, let me give you a one-minute history of the world. You ready? One-minute history of the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's Genesis 1:1. You know, the dry land and the seas, the grasses and the trees, the birds and the bees. Let that sink in. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created man. Male and female, he created them. Two genders. Ah, the good old days. Things were simpler back then, right? That's Genesis 1:27. True statement, there are only two genders in the world. He made the male first, you may know that. God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Genesis 2:7. But God saw that it was not good for man to be alone, and so God made for man a wife. There you go. That was a one-minute history of the early world. I should add that God did the creation. He made the creation in six literal 24-hour days, and on the seventh day he rested. That's where you got your seven-day week, if you didn't know that. But then what happened? Well, God created the woman for the man and brought her to the man, just like a father bringing the bride. And when that happened, Genesis 2:23, Adam said, wowza. Oh, wait, no, that's not what it said. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, see that in 2:24, therefore? What's the therefore, therefore? It's to tell you, here comes God's design for marriage. It's the practical application. And by the way, note about the context. This is God's design for marriage in his creation, not just in the church. This is God's design for marriage in his world, in his creation. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they, that is the two, shall become one flesh. So here is a simple definition for marriage. It could be more complex than this, but it is at least this. Marriage is the joining together by God of a man and his wife for life. I'll say it again. Marriage is the joining together by God of a man with his wife for life. It is the joining together, like two pieces of a puzzle. Some of you, I know you do puzzles. And you find this piece that was designed to fit with this piece, and ha-ha, there it is. There's that puzzle piece I was looking for. It is the joining together by God. God is the sovereign in the universe. He is the one who knits people's hearts together. He is the one who causes someone to appear in your eyes as, wow, she is for me. God does that. And it is the joining together by God of a man with his wife, not with his wives, not with his man, not with his partner or buddy, with his wife for life. Why do I say for wife? Well, notice, if you're still in Genesis 2, notice the end of verse 24. And they shall become one flesh. You know who is the greatest commentator in human history on that line? Jesus Christ. And here's what Jesus consistently said on that line. Matthew 19, you find the same in other Gospels. Here's what he says. Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? This is Jesus' answer to, is it okay to divorce? He says, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Here comes Jesus' commentary on Genesis 2:24. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, application, what God has joined together, finish it. Isn't that amazing? We all knew it. What God has joined together, let not man separate, or let no man separate. God's design for marriage. It has never changed. God's design for marriage has never changed. Now listen, I understand. Sin has come into this world, and our marriages at times are not for life. They don't last. But now go back to Revelation 19. This one will last forever. This will be the joining together of the greatest man who has ever walked the face of this earth, the God-man, Jesus Christ, with his wife, the church. And it will be the joining together of the man with his wife by God for eternal life. That is the picture. It's the marriage of the Lamb. It's a picture of joy and gladness. It's a picture of life with Jesus. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life with Jesus Christ in heaven along with all other believers, says everything after John 3:16. And that's what's meant there. This is a great picture, a picture of the greatest wedding in all of human history, a picture of joy and gladness, a picture of life with Jesus. Third, this is a long one, but it's not surprising, a picture of a loving groom, a ready bride, and a beautiful wedding dress. No surprise, right? A loving groom who stands at the front and is smiling. A ready bride who's really prepared herself for this big day, and a beautiful wedding dress. Back to Revelation 19, take a look at verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. There is the loving groom, the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life for his wife, the church. And then it says, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. What's the picture? The picture is of a beautiful bride who is well prepared, who knew this day was coming, who did not neglect it, but made herself ready for it. And then, what is she wearing? No surprise, a gorgeous wedding dress, verse 8. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Well, of course, we need to talk about the wedding dress, right? Everybody likes to talk about the wedding dress. Oh, my goodness, where did you get that dress? Who did that for you? Who fitted it for you? What's it made of? So let's talk about the wedding dress. First of all, what is it? Look at it again. It is fine linen, clean and bright, like radiant, shining white. That's what it is. It's fine linen, clean and bright. Well, what does that represent? Notice, it says, for the fine linen is, i.e. represents, the fine linen represents the righteous acts of the saints. Who are the saints? All the holy ones. That's what saints means. The saints are all the holy ones. And her dress represents all of the righteous acts ever done in human history by all the holy ones. Well, that's a lot to think about. One commentator put it this way. I kind of like it. Every good work ever done by every single saint goes into making up the perfect glory of the church as she shall be when at last she is Christ's bride. I like that. It's a little bit like saying everything that you do in this life as a believer in Jesus Christ will be part of that glorious dress in the end. You are in the process of making a dress. How many of you thought you were a dressmaker? You didn't know that, right? If you didn't think you're going to ride horses, stay tuned for next week. You're also going to ride horses. Yeah, we're making a dress. We're contributing to the glory of the church in that day when we are presented to Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we've got to ask this. Where did she get it, and how much did it cost? Well, where did she get it? Look again at the verse, verse 8. And to her it was granted. That word is consistently used throughout Revelation to speak of gifts of God. It's given to her by God. It's a gift. It didn't cost her anything, but it did cost somebody something, didn't it? The Lamb. It cost Jesus Christ his life. It cost him his precious blood. I want you to turn back for a moment to Ephesians 5, which tells us about this wedding. Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, which of course is a very practical section on marriages in this life, we are told about this coming marriage of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:25, familiar verse to all you husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. How did he love the church? And gave himself up for her. Why? To what end? In order that he might sanctify and cleanse her, that is, set her apart to be pure, with the washing of water by the word. That means she is sanctified by the word of God, as Jesus prayed. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Thank you. Notice verse 27. In order that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, as in a glorious bride. Present her to himself as the presenting of a bride to oneself. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. In this way, husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. In other words, you're doing yourself good when you're loving your wife. You're doing yourself no good when you're not loving her. Verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Sound familiar? Genesis 2:24. For this reason, verse 31, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I am speaking about Christ and the church. That's amazing. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul just took Genesis 2 and God's design for marriage and told you that from the beginning, in essence, God's plan was to bring a bride to his son, Jesus Christ, and have this wedding. And that applies to all marriages in God's creation. Amazing. Back to Revelation 19. What is the picture? It is a picture of joy and gladness. It is a picture of eternal life with Jesus. It is a picture of a loving groom, the Lord Jesus Christ, a ready bride, his church, and a beautiful wedding dress, fine, clean, bright, radiant linen that represents all the righteous acts of the saints, which are done thanks to God, who imputed the righteousness of Christ that brings forth a righteousness of life. That's the picture. And finally, it is a picture of a people blessed. It is a picture of a people blessed. 19:9. Then he said to me, write this down, write. Blessed, in a very enviable position. Blessed are those who are the called, literally, who are the called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Well, we've seen the picture, now we need to talk about the people. The people. Because notice it says, and of course I've said the church, but I didn't say only the church. We've got to deal with this. Is anyone but the church going to be there? What about Old Testament saints? What about all who have believed in Jesus Christ throughout all time? Are they excluded from this? Notice what it says, verse 9. Then he said to me, right, blessed are those who are, and it literally reads this way, are blessed those into this marriage supper of the Lamb having been called. Brother John Rouse could confirm that to me. The article is there, right, brother? There's an article. It is a perfective verb. It is something that has been done for a particular group of people. And hallelujah, praise God, they are there. And if you wanted to boil it down, they are the called into this marriage supper of the Lamb. So, who is going to be there? I'll give you a couple of options. It could be, blessed are those who were called, but they were not willing to come. They're still blessed and they'll still be there, even though they weren't willing to come. Or it could be, blessed are those who were called and who were smart enough to respond. Could be those people. It could be, blessed are those, doesn't matter. Want to hear a good story? Who likes a good story? All right. This story is told by the greatest story in all of human history. Who's that? Jesus. Listen to his story about this wedding and answer the question, who will be there? You ready? Because it's not just a story. Everything Jesus says is absolutely true. Here comes the story. And you can look at it for yourself. It's in Matthew chapter 22. Here comes the story. The kingdom, Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, Matthew 22:1, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants, the king sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it, and they went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. When the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. And he said to him, and it really is not the word friend, as though there's friendship here. It's companion or fella. Fella, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless, as in no excuse. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. Listen, God is the King. God is the King. His Son, Jesus Christ, will be King. And God is a loving, merciful Savior whose desire is that you would be saved. God desires that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And to prove that, he gave his Son as a ransom for all. And to prove that, he has, throughout history, sent out his servants to invite, to call, to plead, to warn that people should come to Christ, that people should come to the Lord. Even during the Great Tribulation, as we've studied Revelation, one of the things that has stood out so much to me is that even throughout the Great Tribulation, when people have hardened their hearts and stiffened their necks and refused to turn from their idolatry and sexual immorality, God is still calling. He has angels flying across the sky preaching the everlasting gospel. He has 144,000 Jews on the earth, 12,000 from every tribe, preaching the gospel. He has two witnesses who can call down fire so that they last all the way to the end, and they're preaching the gospel. And Revelation ends with the Spirit and the Bride saying, come. Revelation 22:17. Still saying, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. Drink freely of the water of life. But many are unwilling. Many are unwilling. What about the rest? You know what? The rest are no better. But thanks to the grace of God, thanks to the grace of God, God has determined to save a group of people and to present them to his Son as his bride. And if you are in that number, you should say, hallelujah. All glory to God. I am not worthy of the least of his mercies, let alone that I should be joined to Jesus Christ and celebrate eternal life with all the saints of all time. Who am I? We are no better than they, but we're way better off. If you're in Jesus Christ, you are blessed. And that's the picture here of a people who have been blessed by the grace of God to be at the wedding feast of the Lamb and to enjoy eternal life with him forever. So here's a question. How certain is it? I mean, how sure is this? Look again, Revelation 19, back to there. Revelation 19, verse 9. Then he said to me, write, as in write this down. I want this preserved in writing, black and white. And remember, he is writing to the churches. Write this down, blessed. Seven times in the book of Revelation, that is repeated. Blessed, 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 blessed. Blessed, blessed. The message of Revelation couldn't be more clear. God wants you to be blessed. Blessed are the called into this marriage supper of the Lamb. How does that call take place? God proclaims his gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a God in heaven who made the world and everything in it, including us. We all have sinned against him. And because of our sin, we are all worthy of eternal damnation. We're worthy to be separated away from Jesus Christ forever. But God, in his mercy, with the great love with which he has loved us, he has made alive us who have believed in Jesus Christ. He has made us alive. Blessed are the called into this marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, like, hey, these are the true sayings of God. This is not coming from a man. This is not coming from any mere angel. What I'm telling you is coming direct from God. Jesus Christ is going to have his wife. His wife is going to be joined with him forever. That's the promise. Verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him, thinking, and he's already praising God. Wow, you're amazing. And he's falling at his feet to worship him. You can believe that if you live in a society like the Roman Empire, you are looking forward to getting out. You are looking forward to being delivered out of this present evil age, and it ought to be the same way today. And John, his response is, he worships, he falls at his feet, but he said to me, verse 10, "See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God because," and it reads this way, "this testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Now this book, this whole book, your Bible, has a lot of prophecy. You want to know what the spirit of all of it is? The spirit of all the prophecy of God? It's what we just studied. The spirit of it is that the God of heaven has planned that he is going to bring to his son, Jesus Christ, a bride that is glorious. And that bride is all the redeemed. It includes all the Old Testament saints. We'll see that when we get to chapter 21. That bride of Jesus Christ will be all believers in Jesus Christ from all the ages. And that is the spirit of all prophecy. Everything that's being foretold is pointing forward to this great day when we will be united with Christ forever. That's good news. It's certain. Don't doubt it. So finally, practical application. What should you do with this? Well, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, let me give you three ways to respond. Number one, just rejoice. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. You can do that now. You don't wait till then. Say, oh, praise God. I am so looking forward to that day. We won't be tired. We won't be hurting. We won't be aching. We won't be sinning. We won't be complaining. We won't be criticizing or judging. All that'll be done. We will be freed from all the sin and all the bitterness and all the strife and all the conflict. We will be united together with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, forever. Rejoice. Number two, get ready. Notice it says in end of verse 7, his wife has made herself ready. Think about that. Here's a good homework assignment. Think about what it is that the church does to make herself ready to meet Christ. Set your minds on things above and not on things of this earth. Keep looking unto Jesus. Keep his commandments. Love him by keeping his commandments. Be ready. Be watching. Be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Walk in his ways. Love your neighbor. Love one another. All of that is preparation. You could really look at each one of the seven blesseds in Revelation and you'll get how to get ready. But be ready. Get ready. And number three, worship God, verse 10. Worship God. Give him praise. Thank him. Honor him. Humble yourself before him. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable act of worship, holy and blameless. Respond to the gospel by saying, Lord, here I am. Use me. Let my life be an expression of my worship back to you. That's what you should do if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. But don't forget to rejoice. Just be glad. Thank God. If you're not a believer, you know, you should become one today. If you were listening, if you're not a believer and you were listening, you heard that the end for those who don't end up at the wedding is weeping and gnashing of teeth. God has given us here in Revelation 19 a picture of this wedding and the bride, and it's joy and gladness and life with Jesus and a loving groom and a ready bride and a beautiful dress and a people blessed. Well, I'll tell you what, we've just come through a whole bunch of other chapters that show exactly the opposite for any who are not the bride of Christ. Not joy and gladness, but bitter sadness. Not life with Jesus, but separation away from him forever in the lake of fire. You don't want to go there. You don't want to be with the cowardly and the abominable and murderers and idolaters and adulterers, because Revelation 21 and 22 tell us that's where they're going. You don't want to be in that number. You want to be in this number. And I tell you what, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's it. And you should do that today. If you're not a believer, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to say, Lord, forgive me, save me, have mercy on me. And I tell you this, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great picture of the marriage of the Lamb and the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we look forward to it. And we pray that as each day goes by, you would help us to ready ourselves and to keep looking forward to that day when we will be joined with Jesus Christ in heaven forever. We praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.